My friend John Erb is a deacon, and he recently wrote an article called Practicing Catholic. He challenges the common understanding of a practicing Catholic. If you say, I'm a practicing Catholic, it usually means I go to church every week, I understand church doctrine, I believe the Catholic Church is the one true faith. But this definition, he says, is lacking in one major area. It leaves out the whole Catholic tradition of social justice. That is, caring for one another, for the poor, for the earth. It puts going to church above being honest and ethical in the workplace, doing a competent ethical job as a mechanic, a speech therapist, a teacher, a medical caregiver, a grocery store clerk, a corporate CEO. It puts going to church above the church's teachings on things like social justice for the poor and marginalized, being anti-racist, following Jesus' call for pacifism, nonviolence, and a simple lifestyle. So who is a practicing Catholic? Jesus says, those who follow him care for the least among us. They feed the hungry, they welcome the stranger, they visit the prisoner. A practicing Catholic, John Erb says, isn't one who goes to Mass every week, not one who follows ritual formulations, not one who practices ceremonial observance or obeys sacramental rules, but one who spends their life practicing forgiveness, compassion, acts of justice, and selfless care for the poor and for the earth. There's a story in the book called Roman History about the Emperor Hadrian. Some of you have heard about Hadrian, Hadrian's Wall. He was a Roman emperor in the early 2nd century. And a woman asked the emperor for a loaf of bread because she was hungry. Hadrian said, I don't have time. And she said, then stop being the emperor. Well, her ploy worked, and she got the loaf of bread. John Erb would say, stop calling yourself a practicing Catholic unless you're practicing the social gospel, giving food to the hungry. So this is what Jesus is getting at in the gospel today. It starts with a bystander asking, Master, will only a few people be saved? You ever heard that question? And have you also noticed that Jesus never answers questions? He never answers my questions. Instead, he questions and challenges the person who's asking the question. Religion always seems to be asking the question, who's in and who's out? It doesn't matter what your religion is, it always seems like they're preoccupied with who's in and who's out. This guy seems to be saying, well, I know I'm in. I'm saved. Is anybody else? Reminds me of the story that you've heard me tell before about the lady who started her own religion. And she said that only she and her secretary, Mary, are going to be saved. So the press got wind of this. They went over to her house. They said, you really started your own religion? Yep. And only you and your secretary, Mary, are going to be saved? Well, I'm not too sure about Mary. We often associate the phrase being saved with being saved from hell, but Jesus didn't come to save us from hell after we die. He came to save us from the hell before we die, the hell we create for each other here on earth. The 12-step people know this. They've taught us the difference between religion and spirituality is this. Religion is for those who are trying to avoid hell. Spirituality is for those who have already been there. I see a lot of heads nodding here. That's very wise. Jesus came to save us from the hell that we create here on earth. He came to save us from our selfishness, our greed, our violence, our racism. And we see this most clearly in the story of Zacchaeus, which is coming up later in Luke. He's the tax collector. He's the guy that's defrauded everybody. Well, Jesus visits him, and the guy melts with Jesus' kindness and forgiveness. And he says, I'll give half my belongings to the poor, and I'll pay back everybody that I've defrauded. And Jesus says, today salvation has come to this house. Today, not when you die. Today, you've been saved from your selfishness and greed and injustice and making other people miserable. Today, salvation has come. So he's saved not from the hell after he dies, but for the hell he was creating. So Jesus is always focused on this life, not the next life. A summary statement of Jesus' mission is this, I have come to bring you life, life in its fullness. That's pretty much a summary of Jesus, his mission. I've come to bring you life, happiness, fulfillment. I've come to make your lives enriched. He was always looking to transform people, to make them more loving. A good definition of salvation is a life transformed by love. That's salvation. It's not whether you go to heaven or not. We're going to heaven. Don't worry about that. A life transformed by love. That's what salvation here means. Not getting into heaven, but creating heaven here on earth. Creating lives transformed by love. So Jesus taught us the path to happiness for ourselves and others. I am the way, I am the truth, I'm the life. Jesus adds another metaphor. He's always using metaphors. I'm the bread of life. I'm the good shepherd. Here he says, I'm the narrow gate. I'm the gate to happiness. So he's the way to save ourselves from the hell that we're creating for ourselves. He's the way to transform our lives. Do you remember what happened at another gate? Think through the gospel stories and think about another gate. There was Lazarus laying at the gate of the rich man. And of course, the rich man ignores Lazarus, didn't tend to his needs. Jesus today is the poor person at the gate. He's the Guatemalan refugee at our southern border. He's the single mother who comes to us every week knocking on the door of Spiritus Christi Church looking for diapers, looking for rent money. He's the man at Grace of God Recovery House in early recovery. He's the Afghan or Ukrainian refugee seeking asylum. Jesus at the gate. There's another gate. Remember another gate in the Gospels? Jesus met a widow at the gate of the town of Nain in a funeral procession, and it was her son, her only child. Can you imagine that, having one child, and the child dies? You're in the funeral procession, you're crying. Jesus comes up and says, honey, don't worry, don't cry. Touches the man, and he comes back to life. She was crushed in grief, but her grief turned to joy. So Jesus today is the widow at the gate. On Friday, we buried a 24-year-old man named David Teal. His mother, Claire, was the widow, crushed in grief, crying unconsolably at the funeral. Jesus is that grieving mother or father of every young person who dies of a fentanyl overdose or a drive-by shooting. Jesus is Phyllis Kane, who lost her son Billy on Mother's Day. We constantly meet Jesus at the gate, where we meet Lazarus or the widow. And when we treat people at the gate with compassion, we find salvation. Both the poor are saved, and those who help them are saved. Both lives are transformed by love. Both lives are saved. Jesus goes on in the story today, and he says, there'll come a day when the master of the house will lock the door, and some will be standing outside, banging on the door, saying, Lord, open up the door. Open up the door for us. But the master will say, I don't know you. And you'll say, but we ate and drank with you. You came to our town and spoke. Don't you remember I said hi? You waved back. Don't you remember that? I know you. And he'll say, that's not the kind of knowing I'm talking about. You save your life when you lose it, when you give it away. You save your life when you see me at the gate and show me love. That's the kind of knowing I'm talking about. So being saved is not the privilege of a chosen few. It's not about being in the right religion. It's not about going to church every week. It's about being compassionate with those at the gate, finding God in each person, rich or poor, and loving both God and neighbor with our whole heart and our whole soul. Jesus says that those who don't love will be left outside in the cold. The cold-hearted, that's a phrase we use. They're left out in the cold. Their hearts are cold. They don't recognize Jesus at the gate. They don't see the Lord in regular people. And they see outsiders streaming in from the north and the south and the east and the west. Isaiah, the first reading that Emily read, says they're going to be coming on donkeys and mules and chariots. Some are going to be on foot. They're going to stream in from all over the world. The outsiders are streaming in from the north and south and east and west. And the people outside are going to feel like they're replaced. There's a lot of talk about the replacement theory. You've heard of that. It contributes to the mass shootings like in Buffalo, El Paso, New Zealand, Pittsburgh. Replacement theory says that the white race is dying out. It is deliberately being replaced and killed off by people of color and non-Christian minorities. Jews will not replace us. Jews will not replace us, shouted the white supremacists 5 years ago this summer in Charlottesville. And so they think to fight against the whites being replaced, a shooter in Buffalo kills black people. A shooter in El Paso kills Latinx people. A shooter in New Zealand kills Muslim people. A shooter in Pittsburgh kills Jews in the Tree of Light Synagogue. These shooters are all influenced by a theory, replacement theory. They're afraid of being replaced. The committee investigating the January 6th uprising is constantly in the news today. The uprising was a white backlash against the growing diversity in the United States. In 20 years, white people will be the minority in this country. And some white people, particularly some white men, find this to be very threatening. They want to make America white again. But the growing diversity is really a beautiful thing. It's a wonderful thing that's happening. Jesus says, those who follow my way of life and love will come from the east and the west and the north and the south, and we're all going to sit down at one big banquet. We're going to eat together. What's wrong with that? That sounds great. All God's diverse people enjoy a banquet together, and it won't be limited to select individuals who belong to the right group. It won't be limited to those who come to church every week. This is very exciting. If you want to find God, you'll find God at the gate. When we welcome others, we welcome God. That's how our lives get transformed by love. That's how we experience being saved. Being saved is not just about the next life, it's about this life. Jesus tells us today, not only is he at the gate, he is the gate. He's always an open door. Nobody can close it. Nobody can shut anybody out from God's grace. In church, one of our favorite songs is "People Need the Lord" by Steve Green. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. When will we realize that we must give our lives? People need the Lord. People need the Lord. At the end of broken dreams, he's the open door.